So it's probably the biggest story in India this morning. Followers mourning the loss of the iconic Indian religious leader Sri Satya Sai Baba, dying on Sunday at his home in South India. He'd been ill for a while. At least a million devotees are expected to pilgrimage to the ashram to pay their respects to the guru and to the mystic who preached religious unity and universalism and had devotees in 125 countries at least around the world. He was more than a preacher. For his millions of followers, he was a divinity incarnate, a God-man worshipped for more than half of a century. Joining us now is Dr. Tulasi Srinivas, an assistant professor of anthropology at Emerson College and author of Winged Faith, Rethinking Globalization and Religious Pluralism Through the Satya Sai Movement. First of all, doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
And how are we to understand this leader in India who's being mourned so deeply by, it's estimated that there will be maybe 2 million people that will file into the city to see him and pay their last respects, the funeral on Wednesday. Is he one of a kind or one of many?
Well, first of all, let me say that friends and informants and devotees are filled with sadness at his passing. But they believe that this is the passing of merely his body and that his spirit will live on to help them towards salvation and towards the betterment of themselves. Yes, I think it's important to understand him, firstly, for his longevity. He's been what Indians call a God-man, a unification between humanity and divinity, an avatar for the ages, for he declared himself divine at the age of 14, and he was born in 1926. So he's been a significant cultural figure in India for 70-odd years. And so, and he has reached out globally, as my book details, to devotees, and as you said, all over the world. So he becomes a central figure in sort of a neo-Hindu reform movement that that speaks to a universal love and love of humankind. So I think that's where we need to place him. He's not unusual in that in Hinduism there have been sort of bridges between Sufi Islam, Hinduism, between Christianity and Hinduism. So he's not unusual in that. But he is unusual in his sheer, the age in which, the sort of global age in which he functioned, and the fact that he was present for 70 years as this figure. So I think
right.
His longevity is
We're talking with Dr. Tulasi Srinivas, an assistant professor of anthropology at Emerson College on the line from Arlington, Massachusetts, talking about the death yesterday of Sri Satya Sai Baba, a powerful religious leader in India who died Sunday in his hometown in South India, and at least 2 million people are expected to pay their respects. You mentioned Sufism and in a movement within Islam, but also focused around specific individuals who emerge and become powerful in their own right. Do people like Sai Baba challenge traditional religious authorities, or are they just part of the same process that actually bring more people into the fold?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It of course depends what you mean by religious institution. When he declared himself divine, in a sense, he said he was the reincarnation of an Islamic saint and mendicant in South India, also known as Sai Baba, who died in 1918. So he was seeking a bridge between Hinduism and Islam, being Hindu himself. And this is common to the subcontinent, this sort of pluralism, this syncretism of faith. But I do think he went against traditional religion in institution and church terms, in that he preached his words of ministry were about a divine love, an unconditional love, in Sanskrit called prema, of which he was the embodiment. And he said we should find this love, that all human beings were embodiments of this love, this prema, and it should transform the human being or the being into performing service or seva for people beings less fortunate than themselves. Mm-hmm. So he took it upon himself as a mission to transform people into not just looking within themselves, but looking without at injustice, at fear, at inequality. And so I think that's where his strength, and he used his words of ministry to mobilize, in a sense, a human army to do good, to build hospitals, to do charitable work, to do philanthropy, to teach at universities, to build universities, to bring drinking water to the poor. I've spoken to devotees in Kansas City who go out and cook and help at homeless shelters. In Los Angeles, they do very similar things on Skid Row. So they essentially seek to work for the community within which they live.
And that is, I think, important. We're talking with Dr. Tulasi Srinivas, an assistant professor of anthropology at Emerson College, author of Winged Faith, Rethinking Globalization and Religious Pluralism Through the Satya Sai Movement. And Satya Sai Baba died on Sunday, the funeral of which involving and mobilizing that army that you just spoke about, very much in evidence as people pay their last respects. He's also been criticized, though, for tricks and, fooling people and sleight of hand. And it seems to me that it's easy to maintain a reputation, or easier with the kind of global communications networks that are available now. It must be tempting to and difficult to avoid such criticism.
Indeed, I think he became the center of the eye of the storm, as it were. Devotees believe him to have a magical, mystical powers, including being able to materialize objects and healing sacred ash called vibhuti. He's also believed to be able to teleport, be able to mind read, and telekinesis, and other such beyond human, suprahuman activities.
And he's predicted that he will transcend this life, and we've just had the Easter, sort of, which is a story of resurrection, much more ancient. And you know, you can even go to the Lubavitcher rabbi in Israel, who also predicted that he would live beyond his own death. Are there signs that devotees are looking for that might suggest that this has occurred?
Absolutely. You hit in a very important point. Actually, one of the devotees, when speaking to me, said that Sai Baba, whom she called Bhagwan, God, she said he's left his body on the day of Easter Sunday, on a day of remembrance and resurrection, were her exact words. So, yes, I think that Sai Baba himself referred to himself as this body. And devotees see him as an avatar. I'm sure you know this word.
Absolutely.
Of reincarnation. And therefore, he prophesied during his lifetime that he would be reborn as an avatar called Prema Sai, the Sai of love, in a village. And so in a sort of Dalai Lama-like search, devotees will begin to search for this divine figure if they go by the prophecy.
Right, right. And there are millions of those devotees. Dr. Tulasi Srinivas, a religious anthropologist at Emerson College, talking about the death of the Sai Baba, 2 million gathering in India to pay their last respects. Perhaps a religious figure you know very little about, but one of the things we're talking about on the program. Doctor, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.